Hey guys, it's Nikki, and I'm finally back for a brand new episode of The Songs That Saved Me. I know, it's been more than a while, but life has been crazy. I've been really wrapped up in planning a benefit show to fundraise for endometriosis research. By the time you hear this, the show will have already happened, and we hopefully raised a ton of money for the organization EndoFound. But as I'm speaking to you now, the show is 2 days away, and I'm a ball of nerves and excitement. Alright, enough about me and what I've been up to. Today, we're chatting with Dallas singer-songwriter Ashton Edminster about the track Some Things I've Learned by Tiny Habits. I met Ashton about 6 years ago when I wrote an article about her for my college newspaper, and we've kept up since then. Thank you, Instagram. Ashton actually just hosted her own show called The Super Sad Song Show and is in the process of recording some new music. Now, let's get into our conversation about the song that Ashton says broke and mended her heart at the same time.
All right. So, hi guys. Today we're joined by Ashton Edminster. We're going to talk about a song that saved her. You want to introduce the song, Ashton?
Yes. So, this song is called Some Things, and then I've Learned in parentheses, and it's by the group Tiny Habits.
I heard this song for the first time whenever you sent it to me, and I was like, oh my god, I need a minute. Like,
I know. That song when you're in your mid-20s is like, I don't know, it just like hits everybody. And like the verses that go into the bridge, truly, I don't know, it like builds to different levels.
It really does. So like, it starts off and it's like, okay, this is going to be like a little bit of a somber vibe, and then it just keeps going, and I'm like, oh my god, are you trying to kill me?
I know, it's crazy. I popular songs, but around 2 years ago, I became so obsessed with them when they started releasing TikToks in like the hallways at Berkeley when they first got together, and then they started releasing originals, did covers, and I was just like, not that I have bad expectations, but you know, going from being famous from covers to like posting originals, you never know how that's going to go for artists, but they're so good. It's so simple, but it says so much. And I that's like my favorite type of writing style. And this song just proves that to the like highest extent.
I think that when I heard it, I thought of like the show that you recently did, the Super Sad Song Show. I was like, this would have been perfect for that.
I know. Me and my co-creator, Piper Byers, one night we were like planning the next show, and we were like, okay, scenario, who would your dream lineup be for Super Sad Song Show? Which is, that's like a really fun game to play. Cause I was like, Liz McAlpine and Role Model would be really cool. Mm-hmm. But then like I was thinking like Tiny Habits, and then, there's this other group, I forgot, it's like a sibling band, but they're called, oh my gosh, they literally have
Isn't
that song.
Infinity right Song?
Yes.
I love them.
Like, can you, them and Tiny Habits in one night just singing only somber music? I would be sobbing. It'd be so good.
Yes, oh my goodness. When I like took some notes when I listened to the song, I wrote down lullaby vibes, but make it for adults. Like, this is an adult lullaby.
Right? That is genius. That is, like, probably the best way to describe it. It's so good. I think one of the things I like about it is that I think because the print is so minimalistic that it makes you listen to the lyrics more. And it's, like, the hardest hitting part of the song is the bridge. And that's where probably, like, 40% of the production, like, holds back and cuts out a little bit. And yeah. So I find that the less production it is, like, the easier it is to listen to the lyrics and resonate. And it's like a song where it makes an atmosphere for you to just like sit and like be still and listen to it. And God,
yeah,
it's so good.
By the lyrics.
No, literally.
So when did you first discover this song?
Honestly, it was kind of middle to end of last year, because when I'd seen you do this with some other people, and I was like, this is such a great concept, and I you know, selfishly was like, well, I hope they ask me to do it too. And I was kind of thinking, I was like, okay, well, what would I do? And I listened to every style from so many years, and I was like, should I be kind of pretentious and like try to flex my musicality by doing like a super old song? And then like, I'm obsessed with Amy Winehouse, so I was like, should I do an Amy song? And I love Amy, I really do, but I think when it comes to like songwriting, it's hard. I think the only part of Amy that I really relate to is like loving super, super, super hard. And I would do To Know Him Is to Love Him, but that's also been covered by the Beatles. It's like not, it's not like one that she personally wrote. And as a writer, I feel like I connect more to songs when I know that like that person wrote it themselves. And she's an incredible writer though. But I mean, like, you know, I don't relate a whole bunch to Amy Winehouse as much as I would love to. That seems like a crazy life to live. But I think with Tiny Habits, so to make a long story short, when I started in music, I released my first song at 14, released my first EP that following year. And I was so obsessed with like acoustic folk, like singer songwriter vibes. And then by the time I was 16, I started to get kind of primarily known for just my first single, which I'm like, you know, I'm so lucky to have supporters from that song to this day. And I'm so lucky to like have it given me the exposure that I still use to my own benefit to this day. But I kind of was getting imposter syndrome, and I had always listened to everything, but primarily in that time of my life, I was listening to a lot of R&B, and I was like, I want to do R&B. I just discovered like Tori Kelly, Ariana Grande started releasing music frequently. And then like, I got really into Kehlani and Summer Walker. And then, you know, it just, and then like SZA, Bryson Tiller. I listened to a lot of Bryson Tiller and, India Ari, Jasmine Sullivan, Erykah Badu, like all those people I got really, really into. And then of course, JoJo, Queen JoJo.
Yes, queen.
I know, I don't think a white girl like me could release R&B music if it weren't for her. but like, I don't know, I wanted to do R&B music, and it took a while for me to like really get my grounding with that. And so I released kind of like some Sabrina Claudio type, like Cleo Soul type stuff. And then I got more into kind of trap R&B, like the Summer Walker SZA stuff. And those projects were so fun. But then like, I think whenever I really started entering my mid 20s, like when I was turning 24, I kind of sat down and I was just like, I think I want to go back to that sound from when I was younger. Cause I ran away from it like so hard that I was like, I don't think that just because it's a genre that it doesn't mean that those lyrics don't have any substance, but I felt like the more intimate of the setting, like just me and my guitar, like very minimalistic production, like live instrumentation only, that's when I felt like my songwriting shone through the most. And so I got, and this was at the same time when Lizzie McAlpine was getting really big, and I was like, oh my god, this bitch has it, like she has it so yes. hard. And then same thing with like Big Thief and who else I became really obsessed with. Oh, and then I like of course got really into like Carole King and Joni Mitchell and then like Joan Baez and all that stuff.
Carole King is a genius.
Carole King is so, I hate to use the term goated, but like she genuinely is like so goated. I feel like not enough people know what not only she's done as a solo artist, but what she's done for music like as its whole. Like her writing credentials are insane. Like Natural Woman by Aretha Franklin wouldn't be a song without
that.
People don't know that. And I am genuinely so obsessed with her career. I love the plot of songwriters that have incredible voices and they write these incredible songs, and then they are just, their writing credits are on some of the most crazy songs of all time. Like Ryan Beatty, oh, I love Ryan Beatty so much. He wrote a lot for Beyonce on
what?
yes he has, like, I know I'm like, yeah, no, he had a lot of writing credentials on Cowboy Carter. I don't know about Renaissance, but for Cowboy Carter it makes a lot of sense because he like plays into that very like Americana, like, anywho. And so basically, like, since turning 24 and, you know, the beginning of my frontal lobe developing, I kind of lost my passion for music. I think more so as like a releasing artist and as like someone who is striving to like because I never wanted to be crazy big or famous or anything. I just wanted to have a career that was always somehow centered in music, like maybe opening up a record store one day, just, you know, and because my love was always for the music, not for the attention. Like, the attention's nice, but I just love the music so much. And as a writer, I was became obsessed with this music that was being more so known for the lyricism. So I was like, kind of had this internal dilemma. I like turned 25 and I'm like, am I really going back to the sound that I loved when I was 14? And at first I was like, this is embarrassing. And I was like, no, it's not though. Like, I'm going back to the thing that made me love music so much. And so through that whole time, like this whole like crazy time in my head, because I had like literally just released the Great Girl album, which I love so much. And
I love that.
But it was like, thank you. So I released that, and then I was immediately like, okay, I'm ready to like explore genres again. And you know, it's really exciting. It's a little nerve wracking, but in that I found Tiny Habits, and Tiny Habits has this perfect balance of everything that I love about music. And it's just like beautiful vocals, but not so much that it takes away from the lyricism. It makes you listen more, I think, honestly. And beautiful instrumentation, especially with guitar. Like, I'm an acoustic guitar player at heart, and just gorgeous, gorgeous lyrics. And them all being such different people, I feel like they can bring together such a broad outlook on the point of view that they're writing from. And so when I heard this song, because I love Wishes, that's another great one by them, that was really close. But whenever I was thinking of what song I wanted to do for this, I was like, I remember listening to this song. I was like driving to Austin one day, visiting my boyfriend, and this song came up when I was listening to their whole discography. And I just couldn't, I put it on repeat. I could not stop listening to it. It felt like I was listening to some sort of like affirmation, like podcast or something. And I don't know, that song was just the first song that came to my head whenever I was asked to do this. And I think because it covers so much of, I think, what it means to grow up, and especially as an anxious person, especially as an anxious person who is always seeking validation and seeking comfort, and you know, sometimes not being okay with change and always wanting control, this song truly is like the bridge is literally, I had the lyrics on the side so I could look at it.
Same.
The bridge,
we are the same.
The bridge, no, we are the same. The bridge is literally, everything changes and it doesn't matter how I feel about it, and that makes me sadder. I wish I had impact on all my surroundings, like if God knew I'd cry, he'd change plans around me. But some things are broken that don't need my, I'm literally getting chills. Some things are broken that don't need my help. If I'm gonna repair anything, then it sure as hell should be myself. And I feel like that is such, I don't think your 20s are like some super magical specific thing, but if I could describe my 20s, it would be that bridge. Because I am always wanting to fix things, whether it's
I relate to
things
that.
Around. Yeah, I feel like so many people could relate to this song. And so, yeah, long story short, rediscovering who I am with music, how I feel about music, how I feel about a career in music, and hearing this song felt like a perfect storm. And so I think that's just why it resonates with me so hard.
Yeah, I think 24, 25, like you said, that's the age where you're like, I feel like with a lot of people I've talked to, we're like kind of going back in time, thinking about like who we are, who we used to be. And we're like,
right?
Wait, that person was really cool. They just needed a little bit of like refinement, a little bit. But they're cool.
Yeah.
And I should be that person. And you know, I should explore that more. Because I've like gone back to music I used to love, listening to it a lot more recently. And like, I started writing music again myself. And when I used to do that when I was a kid, and I was like, this is dumb. I shouldn't do this. But then I was like, wait, this is pretty cool. I should do this. So it's like, the more you like wake up and the more you get older, you're like, wait, I was cool. I am cool now, but like, I need to bring that person along with me as I go forward.
I literally just had drinks with, cause I'm also in that phase of my life right now where I'm trying to like refine and build more friendships and seek more community. Cause I had been like single basically my whole life, and I had always been surrounded by people who are in relationships. And so in that I had kind of no choice but to get really comfortable with being alone. So from the time I like got my learner's permit, I did so much by myself. I would go to dinner by myself. I'd go see movies by myself. I'd go to the art museum by myself. And I think when it came to whenever I got some sort of social media following when I was 14 on Vine, I look back and I was like, I wasn't even posting music stuff. I was just like posting stupid videos of myself. And so Monday, I had drinks with my friend that I met in community theater when I was literally like 15. I hadn't seen her in 10 years, and we were just catching up on everything. And she said
That's so
something that was
cool.
very like self-assuring for me to hear, because I feel like a lot of the time, especially being a musician, as someone who listens to so many different styles, is that sometimes I'm like, okay, what do I want to be? And I like will sink myself into these different identities, but I just end up with a roadblock because you can't change your identity to be something that I don't want to say isn't you, but it's like I could never be Amy Winehouse as much as I would love to sound like her, like, and I could never be like Bonnie Raitt, like I could never do that because I'm only me. And so I was talking with her, and she was like, "You've always been like truly like self-assured." She's like, "I feel like I'm like still talking to that person that I hadn't seen in 10 years," and that made me feel really good because I feel like I've gone through so many identity crises or crises, but to. And I think that's a beautiful thing about social media too, is like I haven't seen her in 10 years, but for her to like kind of still be able to observe and be like, yeah, no, you're like the same person. I was like, that's really self-assuring because sometimes I don't even feel like I know who I am. And so going back to like the everything, like that song, there was like, because I low-key want to go through like, so the first verse is I wanted a party, end of the summer, something exciting, something I'd remember. I wanted a memory, a movie scene ending, cop cars in the driveway, but I keep forgetting. Something's in quiet, something's in soft. I don't need to scream it to prove it I said it at all.
Oh.
Like, I feel like so many people have so many expectations for all these different major life events, but some things are just like chill, like, and don't have much to them, and some like the simplicity can sometimes make it better and make it easier to remember. And yeah, like I feel like you could relate to that too. Like I just feel like as like because being people who kind of have always delved into the arts, you can romanticize your life a bit more than what life can give you. And so when it's just like, I went to online school, like I get that. I get the whole like I want to like get drunk, I want to like fall in love, I want to have like a summer love, I want to like travel, like all this stuff. Like sometimes your life just doesn't pan out that way, and it doesn't make it any less extravagant. It just means that it's your life, and there's different parts of your life that to someone can seem so extravagant, and like they want that. So it's just the song has so much perspective, and I think that's why I love it so much.
It does. And I relate to what you said earlier about like having to like be alone because other people are like always like coupled up or in a group or whatever. I had that experience too. And my mom used to always tell me like, you gotta learn how to enjoy your own company. And like, I think I learned how to enjoy my own company a little too much. And so I've been like trying to branch out and like get like be more like you said, community based and like really be with people and be around people and like enjoy their company. And I'm like, wait, people are cool.
I think my thing is I always just get worried if like I'm gonna be too much, because I've been told by people sometimes that I am too much. And what was this? It's like something where it's just like, am I too much or are you just not enough? And I
Oh
think that can sound
yeah.
very accusatory, but I think it's more so everybody has different energies, everybody receives different energies in different ways. Not to be like hippie bitch or whatever, but I don't know.
Oh, that's
Sometimes they're
all
just.
we do at this podcast. We are hippies
I.
here.
What's your sign?
I'm a Leo.
Okay, I'm an Aquarius. Wait, we're sister signs.
Yeah, I'm an Aquarius rising too. Leo sun, Taurus moon, Aquarius rising.
Yeah, I'm on the 8th, I'm February 18th, so I'm a cusp. So I have like pretty much all Pisces in my chart, which I think as a person who loves to write songs and romanticize life and loves
That's
sad
perfect.
music, I think it's perfect. And I think, yeah, no. And it's funny 'cause my roommate, she's also an Aquarius, but she's on the further end, so she's a Capricorn. So she's very like stern, and like she's very like I don't know, she's like the calm of the sea, and I'm just like the seagulls flying above. And it was like I don't know. I think whenever it comes to meeting people in life that do pick up on your energy, that is something so special and should be cherished. I cherish my female friendships so much. And they mean so much to me. 'Cause like at the end of the day, that is like one of the things that we will always have, I think, is like relationships with each other as women. And yeah, and so she was someone who really encouraged me to continue with Super Sad Song Show. Cause I did one, the first one I did, and she attended, and she came up to me and she was like, I want to do one of these next. And I was like, okay, cool. And then like cut to a year later, we're hanging out almost every day and we're like drinking beer at midnight and we were starting to plan the one that she wanted to do. And she was like, well, we both kind of like, I can't remember cause we were drunk and it was like midnight. We were like, this should be like a series because every person that has heard about this show, especially as like a songwriter, as an artist, has always been like, there really never is a time or a place for you to sing like all of the sad material that you've written or the more heavy, emotional, somber material you've written. Because
that is so true.
As someone who has been like doing gigs and shows since I was 14, it has always been told to me like, you have to keep the audience's attention. You have to be exciting. You have to be, you know, showmanship, like all this stuff. And I'm like, as someone who resonates more with being a songwriter than a performer, that was always like I hate being out from behind my guitar. I hate it. I like being on stage, but I like it more whenever I know that people are listening to the lyrics and I don't have to put on a show. And so it was summer of 2023. I just got out of like a really, really shitty like situation. I don't want to say situationship, but that's genuinely what it was. And I had written so many songs because I don't think I've ever been fucked over that hard in my life. And I was like,
because that was my life summer 2023 too.
That is just like a universal experience. Truly. I think that everybody has that one summer that someone does something and you're like, oh wow, people can be evil. Like people to my face can be evil and do like really bad things. And as someone who seeks out the good and has the best intentions from like a lot of people, that always just blindsides me. Like getting love bombed, I'm like, okay, maybe I am all the things you're saying. And then I'm like, nope.
Oh my God. I'm like, yes, this is all true. You're not lying to me. Nobody lies.
Nobody lies. Yeah, no, because I'm someone who is so, I've always been so outwardly vocal about the things I like and I love about people. Like I'll be out with my boyfriend and he'll laugh because I will always be stopping people on the streets being like, I love your hair, or like, I love your outfit, because I don't know, this sounds so pick me, but it's truly like, I just like complimenting people because I feel like people deserve to know if they're admired in any sort of way, whether it's big or small. And so I got really fucked over and I wrote probably like six songs back to back about that whole situation. And then I was going back and going through my voice memos and I realized I had some of my favorite songs I've ever written from the time I was like 15, and then there were some that I wrote when I was 18, some that I wrote when I was like freshly 20. And I was like, these are all some of my most proud writing moments, but they're all really sad. They're all like really deep and really heavy. And I was like, I've never sung these songs live and I've never thought to record them because they're not seen as marketable. And you know, not everybody's down to sit down and hear you like talk your shit about something that they didn't experience. But then you think about universal experiences. And so I remember I like posted on my close friend's story. I was like, would anybody be down to come to a show where I'm only singing sad songs? Cause I have like 15 that I love that I've never sung live. And a bunch of people swiped up and they were like, yes, I would love to come to that. And so put a little show together. I sang like eight of them and that's where Piper was. And she, you know, now we're trying to make it to where we can give artists, like our next show is going to be Stormy Griffith and Remy Riley, because they're good friends. And I know, yeah, so we're working on getting the venue for that. But we're really wanting it to become a moment where, you know, artists can feel like they have the space to be proud of their writing that typically won't see the light of day. And that also like listeners, because I personally know so many people who their favorite songs are like sad songs, like like really heavy songs. And there's just, you know, I feel like just now we're starting to get into the space where people can appreciate that type of writing more. Like I think one of the big moments for me was whenever Olivia Rodrigo's first single was Driver's License. Like thinking about that as your first
turning point.
Right. And I think Billie Eilish has done a lot too, because even though like a lot of her songs, like I would say like Ocean Eyes was her first like big, you know, big break. But even going into, you think of like I Love You and like Lovely with Khalid and all that stuff. And, you know, there's just, and like, especially her last album, like Skinny, like that, I
Ooh,
feel like more
yes,
and more
it's
people
so
are, oh,
vulnerable.
it's so vulnerable. And like, Lizzie McAlpine just had a whole tour where she sat down the whole time and the audience got to sat down and everybody just listened. And I'm like, this is like my dream. And I'm thinking we're on the turning point of more people being okay with just listening. And I'm hoping that that translates into people showing up and showing out for the Super Sad Song Show. It's something that means a lot to me. And as I was saying, like trying to figure out what I want to do with music, every time I've done one, because I did that one in 2023, I did like a private show where we like showcased it to a couple artists. And then we just did this last one a few weeks ago. Every time I'm on stage in that moment, that is the all the pictures from the show are hilarious because I'm just smiling so big. Meanwhile, I'm like reliving a bunch of trauma. But I genuinely think that's where my heart is. And so I think that's why I also picked this song for this thing, because it's like, I don't think it's a sad song, but I don't think it's like a happy song. I think it's like an acceptance song. It's like I'm at peace with this song.
Yeah, I thought that too. It's more like, you know, facing life as you get older and like just looking at your surroundings. And accepting, like, you know what, sadness is okay, happiness is okay, like, you're gonna have, you know, ups and downs. It's like life fluxes and flows, you know?
Yeah, I'm a big feeler, and you know, after being super comfortable with myself and having a lot of alone time with myself, and then going into like trying to put myself out there more in regards to like romantic relationships and dating, there have been so many times where I've been let down that every time I was really, 'cause you always hear the stories of like I got hurt so many times that I became like shut off, closed off, and I became like heartless or whatever. There have
Yeah.
been so many times where I think there's somewhere something in my notes, like half a written song about praying to God that I would stay soft and that I would still be able to feel as deep as I did. There's some quote out there that's just like, what a blessing is it to like feel so heavily, being an empath and
Yeah.
being a big feeler, because some people don't. Like some people, I tell them, I'm like, I'm pitching this show to them, I'm like, do you, I was like, do you like sad music? And they're like, no. And I'm like, I love anything with a huge amount of feeling that you can feel. I love reliving feelings. I love being nostalgic. I love, you know, fantasizing about the future. And there was like, oh my gosh, this goes perfectly into the second verse of the song. So the
It
second, it does, yeah. The second verse being, I wanted a ball gown, a bouquet of roses, somebody who loves me and wants me to know it. I wanted excessive, nonstop affection so there isn't a moment of doubt and connection. But some things need breathers and some people need space. But when I thought you asked for alone time, it meant that I was something you hate. Oh my God.
does.
That one I think hits the most out of all of them, because I think, and you can hear it very much in the last project that I did, Great Girl, being like, I am someone who is so adamant about letting people know that I love them and that I care for them. And I'm a words of affirmation person. I am an acts of service. I'm a gift giver. I am all the love languages like turned up to 100. And you know, some people aren't like that, but that doesn't mean that they love you any less. And I do think there are things that if you say to someone that you need them, they will provide that for you. Like the person that I'm with right now, he isn't like, we talked about that when we first started dating. We were like, what's your love language? And he was like, mine's physical touch. And he was like, I didn't want to tell you that at first because I'm a man and that usually like comes off the wrong way. But like with him, it's really funny. I just will like be laying in bed and I'll just like feel a finger and he just wants to be there and know that I'm like there, which is so funny. And so mine's words of affirmation, and over time he's gotten like more better at it. More better is not the correct term. Better and better, because he knows how much it means to me. And I think that that in itself is a true, like, I don't need a bunch of like gifts. I don't need, you know, I don't need love letters every day, like da 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 da. Like, I feel like if you're with someone who makes you feel love and makes you feel known and heard, that you will feel that 24/7. Like,
Yeah.
even if they're mad or frustrated at you, like, they will step outside of themselves to be like, I'm feeling this, but you have to know that I love you, and it doesn't change anything about how I love you. And so hearing that verse, like, this song truly is just one after another. You're like, okay, that's got a little kick to it. And the next one's like, and then like the bridge, you're just like laying on the floor dead. But yeah.
Finish her.
Yeah. No, literally like TKO at this point. And this song, I think I like how it doesn't really have a chorus that it repeats, but it has like the da, 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 like it has that melodic structure as the chorus. Mm-hmm. It like in the only way I can feel it, it feels like three angels or like three like wise like figures came down and were like, this is the lesson, like the three wise men. They're like, and this for this, and this for this, and this for this, like take these words with you and like go like live and prosper. Like, and it feels so corny, but it like genuine, like I try to send this song to so many people because I think everybody needs to hear this. It's so affirming on so many different levels. And so like, I'm glad you like this song. I was really excited whenever you were like, at the beginning when you were just like, this song is so good.
Yeah, verse 3 was the one for me. I was like, this is calling me out.
Like, the literally, like, if God knew I'd cry, then he'd change plans around me. Because sometimes it feels like that. Like, when shit doesn't go right, you're just like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, do you hate me? Or, like, what's happening?
Like, do you, like, so I guess you hate me. Like, no.
I literally said that out loud a couple weeks ago. I was like, God, like, what are you doing? Come on.
I know. No, literally, like, it's like, okay, why me? And... but then because I feel like I've said that so many times in my life, truly, and you know, not everything is like sunshines and rainbows all the time. But I think for me personally, so much of my personal journey had to do with the being the kind of always single friend and being surrounded by people and relationships and just feeling like I was always cheated out of that. Like I always got super close, but like never like made it across the finish line. And just knowing that there wasn't anything specifically wrong with me, but just being like, why? Like, asking why all the time, and the whole Great Girl Project being like, okay, like you are giving me the whole like, you're so great, and like I've had such a great time with you, like all this stuff, but like I don't think it works out. And I was just like, why? There were so many times where I just wanted to like cut the bullshit and not be like, it's okay, I understand. And just being like, why? Then
I did that recently. I got broken up with last week, and I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna take this well at all. I'm just gonna be like, what's wrong with you? Because he gave me the speech. He's like, you're a sweet person, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, so what's the problem then?
No, literally, like, oh my God, what is it? Like, I feel like you know this movie, the He's Just Not That Into You.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gigi, that main character in that movie was so, she's so great girl. Like, mm-hmm. she's, and Sally, and When Harry Met Sally, she's so great girl. Like, it's just women who have these expectations, and, you know, it applies to everybody, but for me specifically, it's just like, being a person that is very sure of themselves, but they're kind of insecure whenever it comes to like how other people perceive them. And as soon as someone rejects any part of them, it's like, okay, but why? Like, I know everything about myself. If you tell me why you don't like me, I can explain that part of myself to you, and then you'll change your mind and then you'll love me. And it's like, it doesn't work like that.
Get it.
It doesn't. Like, and it's not because I think I'm perfect. I think it's just more like I feel very in tune, and I've been very sure of myself ever since I was a kid. And so whenever it comes to, you know, I feel like, not to like dog on men, but like I feel like especially with men, they're still figuring things out, and they tend to not realize that. Yeah, and then they tend to not realize that until they like, until it gets close to being really real. And I feel like
someone who's
the opposite. Yeah, and exactly. And I think that's the hardest part, because it's just like, I get this. Why don't you get this? And so I think that verse being like, I wanted something extravagant. I wanted like something like this, because it's like, that's what love has been sold to me as. Like, love has been, well, oh my gosh, there was a quote and it was just like, I wanted fireworks, but you like, you are my fireplace. Like, you're consistent. Ooh. You're not loud, but you're warm and you're comforting and you're like in my home. You're not like something exciting, and you're not something. I think that those things can come in waves whenever you're with someone, but I thought about it, and it was like, again, and he's just not that into you when he's telling her. It's like the spark. He goes, that's such bullshit. Like, the spark is called anxiety. Like, the spark is that anxious feeling. I think you can feel a heavy connection with someone, but ever since I saw that movie, I was like always looking out for the spark. And my dumbass didn't realize that the sparks that I had with the one guy that really like fucked me over, that was just me being like, he didn't text me back after 3 hours. And he was like, I could see he was active on everywhere else. And then he'd be like, hey. And I was like, oh my God. Hi.
You remember me.
I was like, hi, you remember me. I am still here. And yeah. And so now being with someone who is so calm and consistent, it has made me, it's made me feel so safe in ways that I couldn't even comprehend. Like, I haven't even been able to write about it a whole bunch. I wrote a song called Past Tense as an Empath, where it's more so talking about, I'm so happy I'm where I'm at now because I look back at what I went through and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe, like, if I love myself so much, then why did I let myself go through that and like be okay with being hurt like again and again? And so, like, the whole thing in the song when it's like, but some things need breathers and some people need space. But when I asked for some alone time, it meant that I was something you hate. And that, like, is a big thing for me, because I think a lot of people can experience this with any sort of like parental figure in your life. I feel like a lot of adults, they have short tempers because unfortunately, like, their parents didn't show them that, you know, you can take time and you can breathe, and that your emotions, you don't always have to resort to anger. I think it, at the end of the day, what the song is for me is just so much understanding and so much clarity. It's like one of those songs that, so it was released in 2023. It's one of those songs that I wish I heard in 2022, like just 1 year earlier. If I had that 1 year earlier, I feel like maybe I would have been a lot more at peace with a lot in my life. But I'm interested to see, like, how does it resonate with you? Because you were saying like that the bridge meant a lot.
Yeah, it really, whenever, let me go, I'm going to look it. I'm on geniuslyrics.com. Okay, so everything changes and it doesn't matter how I feel about it, and that makes me sadder. Ooh, because I hate change. I like routine. I like to know what's going on because, like, I have anxiety, and I like to like plan my day like by the hour sometimes, like, because I want to know what's happening, so nothing jumps out at me to like make me feel a certain way. And life does not work that way, of course. And the more you plan, of course, the more things are gonna go wrong. And so I'm just like, even with little things like that, and then like even with like relationships and friendships, even like you plan to be friends with someone forever, and then something happens, you have a fight, or like a relationship doesn't work out, and you're like, I had all these plans, like, we were supposed to get married, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that.
we're supposed
to go here on this day. Like, even if you plan to go to a concert together or something in the future, and it comes up and you're like, wow, that's not happening now, you know?
Right? Yeah.
So it's like that's a sad feeling, but it's like, maybe that wasn't meant to happen. That's something that I've been learning to accept, is like, maybe things are supposed to be the way that they are.
Yeah, I think, like, and that I like definitely took that bridge in the same way. Like, it's like, I feel like this song is so much like those things that you try to tell yourself in those situations, and then you're like, oh no, but it's me, I'm different. Like, no, this doesn't apply to me. Like, everything should probably go my way. But this song is very much just like, hey, it's not going to be that way, and you're just going to have to be okay with it because there's nothing you can do to change it. And like, the whole thing where it's just like making plans out to the minute and like having the expectations, and when they don't fall through, it is just like even more devastating, because it's like, I wrote a song that I sang at the last Super Sad Song show called Pulling Teeth. And, it's about not only like from a musician standpoint, but I think for me, I specifically feel it in this way, but it's so applicable to throwing a party or like having a big event that you like really want people to come out and support you at, or even just like wanting people to be there for you in your time of need and like hold your hand through something. And, you know, everybody is so busy. Like, there's so much going on in people's life. There has been some times where like, I feel
upset that I wasn't able to show up for a person that I really cared about, even though I wanted to, but like other circumstances got in the way, or even maybe some of my own selfish reasons got in the way. And then I look back at those times and I'm like, I'm no better. Like, I'm no better than the people that I feel like are out to get me or like disappointing me. And so I wrote this song and it was just about, because I had thrown so many shows, but there's always that handful. You know, when you throw a birthday party and you invite all these people, and then the day of you get like 10 messages being like, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't make it. That is like one of my top five, like, least favorite feelings in the world. Like, if I had a button to like fast forward through that feeling, I would. There's some times where I just want to post something on my story, just being like, if you can't come, just don't tell me. It's a lot easier to like, after you have the show, because, you know, you throw the party, you do the show, you do the event, and there's always going to be a part of it that still makes you feel happy and fulfilled and like loved. Like, it always works out in some sort of way. And so it's like, you know, say someone didn't text you beforehand that they couldn't come, you know, the show ends, you realize that they didn't end up making it. I'm a lot more at peace because I'm like, you know, but I still had a good time and it was still a good turnout. But it's about that, like, when you get that text right before that, you're like, okay, well, like, fuck it, I guess nobody's coming.
Like, yeah, like, who cares at this point?
I know, it's like, I'm just going to cancel the whole damn thing. Like, it's so like,
yeah,
like, and so I wrote that song called Pulling Teeth, and it was just like, the chorus is like, it's like pulling teeth, getting you just to hear me. You ask, what can I do? And I tell you sincerely, I don't want to beg. My knee's always bleeding. You say, what can I do? And I say, can you just come see me? And I think that's applicable to so many things. Like, I'm someone that I try my hardest. I may not always be able to like come up 100%, but I try my hardest to be there for the people that I care about.
Me.
The people that 100%. I call my friends. I'm an Enneagram 2, which is the helper, which is so
me. Me too.
Right. And I'm very much like a Monica. Like, I am a Leslie Knope. I am like all these things. I am a very much a try hard. I just, when I love someone, I love them so deeply and I try to show up in every sort of way. Mm-hmm. And so whenever it comes to when other people, whether it's regarded, like regardless of circumstances that they can control or some that they can't, I always expect people to put the same energy that I do into that.
Yeah, and whenever I had to learn,
it's so, it's,
everyone
is
built that way.
And it's not because I think that I'm like special or better than someone. Like, I wish sometimes that I could self-preserve and put that energy that I give into people into myself and be kinder to myself and do those things that I do for other people and do them for myself. But, you know, everybody is so complex and so different, and I don't think that makes anybody better or worse. But it is hard because I'm like an optimist. I'm, you know, a romantic. I love to give and do things for people. But I am like, I don't think that I'm like necessarily a realist when it comes to those things. Like, because I'm just like, okay, I did this. Like, it's not so much like I did this for you, now you do this for me. Because I like doing stuff for people just for the sake of doing it and making them feel loved. Yeah. But I'm like, okay, so you would think that it would return the favor. But then sometimes it doesn't, and it's not because they hate you, it's just because they are wired differently.
Yeah.
And it's just, again, it goes back into that song just being like, I wanted a like a ball gown, I wanted like roses, and it's like, it's not always going to be like that. Sometimes it's going to be a hug and like a, hey, like, I care about you, you mean a lot to me. And that is just as meaningful. Like, and yeah. I don't know, it's, life is a lot more simple than I think that I've made it out to be from when I was younger.
I've been talking so much about this with other people. Like, I'm like, the more I look for answers to things, the more confused I get. But when you strip it back and you're like, just look at it for what it is, it's so much easier.
So much easier. There have been people that I have been friends with for a really long time and that have like been through me through all of like the hills and valleys of my life. And it is really nice because I'm one of those people that like, if, like, I know someone knows me, I'm like, okay, what was your thought about me during this day or like this moment? Like, cause I just am so, I don't know. I feel like sometimes I get so locked in that I can't see myself from an outside perspective. And so it's kind of the same way when you want someone to take a picture of you, because you're like, I don't know what I look like.
Yes. Oh, that is exactly. Oh my God. That's so true.
Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of, it's not because I want to hear about myself. It's because I want more perspective about how I'm outwardly to other people. And so I think at the end of the day, whenever I hear these people say these things and they're like, I've seen you grow. That is so reaffirming because I can feel in myself that I've grown and that I've learned things. But to see the people that see me pretty regularly and they're like, no, like I can see it. You seem more composed and more sure of yourself. And you seem like you seem like you take things easier. I'm like, that's so good to hear because sometimes I feel like I am barely holding on. But to hear from people that know me and love me and have been there with me through so many things that they appreciate me and see the beauty in the things that I do, it makes me so happy. And I think that's another thing where I cherish my friendships and my relationships so much. And I love talking to people about friendship and love and, you know, connection. And so, I don't know. I think that this podcast is a great, great, great idea. I carry lyrics so deeply, and I think this is a great concept, and I think it's hilarious how I was like, oh, maybe I should do, like, an older song so I can really, like, let people know I listen to music, like, back from, like, the 50s and the 60s or the 70s and the 80s, but I think, like, this song saved me because it gave me closure for situations that I didn't get closure from. It gave me mantras that I could say to myself. It gave me, like, ways of living that I can carry with me. It gives me so much perspective. And I think hearing it while my frontal lobe developed and while I feel like in the past 3 years, I've experienced more life experiences than I ever have throughout like the whole span of my life. I feel
me
like
too.
I feel like as a teenager,
like I didn't have those same experiences that a lot of my friends had. And so I feel like I'm catching up in a lot of ways. And I'm like on like turbo mode, like just like going through all these heartbreaks and everything.
No, like and a part of me is like, do I wish it was spread out? And I'm like, no, thinking of how soft I was at like 14 or 13, I'm like, that probably would have killed me. I don't think I would have been able to handle it. But what I love about experiencing things and living life is that when you have community, it's like you have these people around you that have also gone through similar things at different times. And it's like an encyclopedia of like, okay, this is what I did when I went through this. It may not work for you, but like, this is what I did. Cause I'm the type of person, whenever someone's like telling me something, I'll like listen. And then I'll be like, do you just want someone to listen to you? Or do you want like perspective or advice? And I love being like, okay, so this kind of thing happened to me and this is what I learned from it. This is how I handled it. It might not work from you, but take pieces and bits and see if that like is applicable to your situation. And that's kind of what this song feels like. It feels like some people being like, I know you're feeling
three
this.
Different people.
I know. It genuinely feels it's like a Christmas carol, like past, present, and future.
Oh my god, yes. Mm-hmm.
This song is like so it feels like a freaking like omen or something. Like something something is very cosmic about it. Something very spiritual in every like sense of the word. Like it just is such a well-rounded song, and the fact that it sounds so beautiful too, like their harmonies and their hums, it's like a lullaby, like you said. Like I think about this song and I think it's definitely, I have a whole bunch of songs that I'm like, I can't wait to show these songs to like my future children. And this one, like I can see it now. I can see my 16-year-old like being like heartbroken for the first time because she got let down by expectations that she like set up for herself. And then I just like immediately see a reflection of my 16-year-old self and I'm going to be like, can I show you this song? And then just having a moment where she can like breathe and like hear these words. And because it's like, you know, you can't always be there for people, but music will always be there for you. And that is so, so, so comforting. I know I'm a songwriter, but like, I genuinely can't understand people who aren't like obsessed with lyrics for songs. Like when people's
either.
Like,
it's what gets me through like everything.
I know. And again, it's like the whole like being a giver versus like someone who like, you know, self-preserves a little bit more. Like, I don't think it makes one person better than the other. I don't think it makes you more deep or introspective than the other person. But like, for example, like my boyfriend, he is not a, like a lyric listener. And so for some reason, it provides me so much like it gives like a different perspective, though, because he's like a big instrumentation listener. And I'm a writer before like I'm a music player. And so having different outlooks on that is so nice because I don't know, it gives me like a point of view that I personally never had, being a lyrics person only. And my brother was a lyrics person too. And so just kind of being with someone who's just like, we listen to the music, I'm like, oh, there's like a different level of feeling now because like the lyrics can make you feel something, but so can the melody. Because there are certain
Yeah, when you
songs
put
where the
it
lyrics are
together.
right, where the like slow dancing in a burning room. That song, I wish that was a love song so bad, but it's not. Like
At all.
I listen to that guitar and I'm like, I wanna like be in love. I wanna like slow dance with someone and all that stuff. And then you listen to the lyrics and it's like, this thing is bad for us. Like we both know it, but like, you know, maybe we can have it be bad and ruin us and we can like go down in flames together. And I've like never experienced something like that. And I'm like, do you ever have those songs where you're pissed that you don't relate to?
Yes, and I'm like, oh, I wish I wrote this. I wish I could have like gone through this and wrote something like that.
I know, but I think at the end of the day, like music is so selective and sometimes situations won't relate to you, but then sometimes there have been times where it's like I listen to a song and I really like it and I'm like, this is a really good song. And then I go through something and then I'm like, oh shit, I need to listen to the song again. And then I do and it's
I
like
was
streams of
just telling
light.
someone that. Like, you weren't ready for it yet. You hadn't gone through that experience to be ready for that song.
You weren't ready for that. That is like such, that is so true. That is so true. Oh my
And
gosh.
oh my God,
It's
speaking of John Mayer, there's a song on that album, Continuum, that I wrote down that reminded me of this one, In Repair. Because the
I
lyric
haven't
that's
heard.
like, I'm gonna repair, if I'm gonna repair my anything, then it sure as hell should be myself in this song. I was like, that's In Repair by John Mayer, like that just goes into a whole nother thing.
Right. No, and that's so good. And like another, sorry, not to like freaking John Mayer out, but like I'm sorry, I really like his music, but
No, me too, but like
okay, this is a
the
safe. I'm sorry, girls. I know he's a dick. I know he's a shithead.
girlies.
But
But
like
those lyrics and that,
I'm
oh my God, the
sorry.
guitar.
Oh, the guitar is so good. Me and my boyfriend's song is Edge of Desire. That's like our favorite song, and he like learned
That
it on guitar.
I'm literally gonna get that tattooed on me, like
That song is actually one of the
love
best songs that
it.
I've ever heard in my life. Like, I want you so bad, I'll go back on the things that I believe.
There, I just said it. I'm scared you'll forget about me.
That's
It's so
crazy.
simple, and it's so
Why
true.
can't men should yearn? Men should yearn more. Every man needs to listen to Grace by Jeff Buckley.
Yes. Don't even get me started
Truly.
on Jeff.
But another John Mayer song that reminds me of this is The Heart of Life.
That song, I've only listened to it like 3 times in my life, and each time I've just wept.
Yeah, no, because it's like pain throws your heart to the ground, like love turns the whole thing around. Fear is a friend who's misunderstood, but I know the heart of life is good. I love songs, and one day I hope to write a song like this, where it's really like sitting back and like looking at life from an unbiased perspective. It's almost like looking at life from like the point of view of like something bigger. Like just kind of like looking down and just being like, you know what? It's not that deep. You can feel deep, but it's not going to kill you. It may feel like it'll kill you, but you'll learn and you will grow. And I hated when people used to tell me that. They'd be like, but you're going to learn from this. You're going to like become so strong. And I would just be like, okay, fuck you, actually. I do not give a
Yeah, I
shit. This
don't
hurts
feel
really
strong right
bad.
now.
I don't feel strong right now. I feel weak. Siri, play Weak by SWV.
Yes. Why
But
did my
no,
hair
she.
go? My hair is
Oh my
like
God,
kind of.
mine went too. Okay, I should. But
Mm-hmm.
yeah, no, I truly think at the end of the day, the songs that mean the most to me, as someone who asks a lot of questions and as someone who wishes they had control and is always looking to see what the next step is so I can get ahead of it, I think songs that are very much like you can't control everything, sometimes shit's gonna suck, but that's what life is, and you just have to like be okay with that. I think that truly is what will save me time and time and time again as I grow. And so hearing the song at 25 was so perfect and it meant the world to me. And so I hope that more people listen to it after this.
Ooh, that was the perfect ending quote. Oh my God, you served that up right. Oh my God. So Ashton,
Thanks.
I want to ask you about any new music you might have coming out, and then tell the people where they can find you online.
Yeah, so I last year pretty much around the same time last year, I released my last R&B project, Great Girl. It's a collective of songs going through the ins and out of kind of what dating life looks like for, you know, a hopeless romantic that continues to get let down and then just kind of takes a blunt look at what, you know, dating in this day and age is like. And, you know, it's a lot of commentary on that. That's everywhere you can stream music. I'm currently in the studio starting to record all of my sad music from the past couple super sad song shows that I've done. That is currently my passion project right now. I'm recording music at the time, but I'm really putting a lot of my focus into Super Sad Song Show, which you can follow on Instagram at Super Sad Song Show and on TikTok. And we'll be putting out merch and announcing shows, hopefully quarterly every year. But yeah, and then my personal social media is Ashton Edminster on everything. I'm just on Instagram and TikTok because I don't like Elon's app.
I deleted that. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah. I got banned a long time ago because I did an Adele cover and they're like, "You're impersonating Adele." And I'm like, "I wish." But you know what? I think that's for the best. I feel like I need less social media as possible. But yeah, so thank you so much for having me. This was like heaven for a yapper slash songwriter.
Yes, this was like a little therapy session. I loved it. This is why I started this show, to talk about music and lyrics and just all the thoughts that we might have about songs and just get them out there and connect with people.
Right, yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Thanks so much to Ashton for joining me on this episode of The Songs That Save Me, and thank you for listening and sticking around. You can find Ashton's music on all the streaming services and be on the lookout for new music from her coming soon. Also, don't forget to follow her on Instagram at Ashton Edminster. You can also follow the Super Sad Song Show on Instagram as well. I promise the next episode of this show won't be 3 months away. I'll talk to you very soon. Bye!